We read Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my sayings, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health of all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to thy left. Remove thy foot from evil. Thus far the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture. We consider tonight on the occasion of Confession of Faith, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I preach this sermon on the occasion of the confession of faith of two young men in the congregation. And therefore, I have a special interest in the young men of the congregation. I do not preach this sermon because I have some specific concern with regard to the two young men who made confession of faith. Neither do I preach the sermon because I have a specific concern with regard to the young men of this congregation generally. Rather, I am interested in the young men as young men because that's the occasion of the proverb itself. And because the occasion of confession of faith of two young men in the congregation gives opportunity for the sermon to address those young men in particular. Here in the proverb, we have a father addressing his son and also other sons and daughters. This father has instructed his son and in a good doctrine, and he has given his son a good law. And now, with regard to that instruction that he gave his son, he exhorts his son to wisdom in light of that instruction. He exhorts that son to wisdom because that son now has been instructed. That son has a body of knowledge. That son has a good doctrine. That son has a law. And now that son is going to go out in the world, and his life must conform to that doctrine and law. His life must consist in the proper use of that instruction. That's wisdom. And the father here, who has instructed his son, says, as it were, to his son, "Son, I've instructed you now, and now you're going to go out and you're going to live your life in the world. Do not forget, wisdom is the principal thing." The father, as it were, says to his son, "I taught you a lot of things, but in all of them, my goal and purpose was to instill in you wisdom. And that wisdom is the principal thing." That speaks to the young men, because young men will grow up to be old men. Old men who have a position of leadership in some form in God's covenant. That doesn't mean that it leaves out of view the young women, the old men, and the old women. Everything that I say tonight applies to every one of us in the congregation. But the occasion is the young men. And the occasion is the young men because those young men are going to have a position of leadership in the church, in the covenant, in some form. Those young men, as the rule is, will grow up and they will be married. And then they will have children. And then they will be involved in the school. And then they will sit in the deacon's bench. And then they'll sit in the elder's bench. And then they will sit at classes. And then they will sit at synod. And they'll sit at the association meetings. Oh, and they'll go to the societies. And they'll go to the congregational meetings. And in all of that, the young men have a position of leadership. And in all of that, therefore, they must have wisdom. They must have wisdom in the words that they speak. They must have wisdom in the decisions that they make. Because in the position of leadership, everything that they do affects someone else. Every decision that they make, every word that they speak, that affects their wives, that affects their children, that affects a school association, that affects a diaconate, that affects a consistory, that affects a classis, a synod. It affects a society, affects a soul church. They have to lead with understanding. And they have to lead out of wisdom. Because wives, children, churches, schools, associations, societies, souls, and the glory of God are at stake. And foolish young men grow up to be foolish old men. Foolish young men do not mature to become wise old men. Foolish old men, young men grow up to be foolish old men. And wise young men grow up to be wise old men. And to have such wise men in a home, in a marriage, in a school, in a church, is a great gift of God. And you can see that from the opposite. to have fools. Fools as the head of homes. Fools sit on elders' benches. Fools sit in diaconates. Fools sit on school associations. To have fools in positions of leadership has damning consequences for souls. Because fools hate wisdom. And whosoever hateth wisdom loveth death. And I want to address the young men about the principal place that wisdom has, because I see a threat to the young men. First of all, the threat has to involve the self-centeredness of the age. Video games, in particular, are ruining young men. Young men's use of the internet, especially involving pornography, is ruining young men. And it's not ruining them merely as young men, it's ruining them as old men too. They ruin their lives. They ruin not only their own, but the lives of their wives and their children, and they bring trouble in the church. Young men that are interested mainly in knowing the latest details about their favorite sports teams, but are incapable of expressing themselves about what they believe. Young men who sit in the basement for hours, hours, daily, doing nothing but playing video games. And they grow up on that. And they don't forsake that. They bring that right into their marriage. And now they're more interested in that video game than they are in fellowshipping with their wife, with that video game than raising their children. They're more interested in their sports than fellowshipping with their wife, or their sports than raising their children. Or if they get around to teaching, what they teach is that frivolity. They don't teach sound doctrine because they themselves have no resources. They don't give the good law and the sound doctrine. What they give is a superficial, pleasure-driven, self-centered view of life. And those foolish young men who grow up to be foolish old men raise equally foolish or even more foolish children. That does not bode well for the churches. The young men must understand wisdom is the principal thing. And that stands as God's wisdom over against the easy and natural folly of man. Man always wants to make something else the principal thing. Man wants to make his popularity among other men the principal thing, so that he bends every effort in his life toward that goal. Man wants to make the making of himself in his career the principal thing, so that everything in his life, including his wife and his children, his home, his place in the church, and his position on the school board or school society, everything must serve him. Man wants to make lots of money the principal thing. Man wants to make his pleasure the principal thing, so that the principal thing is really a carefree, responsibility-free life. That's what man's folly naturally and easily does. So that everything else in a man's life must serve the pursuit of his own self-chosen, earthly-minded, and unspiritual goal. God's kingdom, God's church, God's truth, God's covenant means very little to him, if anything at all. Now the Spirit says to the young men, wisdom. Wisdom alone wisdom exclusively is the principal thing. Wisdom, young men, is like a beautiful, godly, talented woman. That beautiful, godly, talented woman is what makes a man's life good. There are some who can be single, but that's the exception. God's rule is for a man, a woman, and for a Christian man, a godly woman, makes his life good. Without her, his life is bad. Now, wisdom is that in the highest sense. Wisdom makes a man's life good. Without her, a man's life is bad. So let's consider wisdom under the theme, getting the principal thing. Notice what this is. Notice getting it. Notice its blessedness. The text must be understood as we have it translated in the KJV. The modern Bible translations, many of them translate it differently. But the KJV is correct. Many of the other translations translate it something like this: the beginning of wisdom is getting wisdom. But that yields no sense, and besides, leaves the impression that the getting of wisdom is very similar to those who are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. If the beginning of wisdom is the getting of wisdom, then man never really actually gets wisdom, but he is attaining wisdom all his life long. He's ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's not the mind of the Spirit here in the text at all. The Spirit intends to teach a principle or an axiom. A principle or an axiom that man must believe, according to which a man must order his whole life. And that principle or axiom is this: wisdom is the principal thing. What then is wisdom? Wisdom is mysterious. Wisdom is as mysterious as God, and wisdom is as mysterious as the counsel of God. And that's not surprising that wisdom is mysterious, because wisdom is of God. God Himself is wise. There is no wisdom apart from God, and all wisdom comes from God. And therefore, wisdom is indeed mysterious. And to understand wisdom, then, you can't listen to men. Men are always very easy and quick to criticize something as unwise. A man makes what in the eye of God and the Spirit, and according to the Holy Scripture, is a wise decision. It's a wise decision that many might not like. It's a wise decision that many might freely criticize. But according to the standard of the Word of God, it is wise. And that's why when we're examining wisdom, you can't listen to men. Men are devoid of wisdom. Men very easily criticize wisdom. Men do not understand wisdom. Men are as averse to wisdom as they are to God. Man hates wisdom by nature. He loves folly because he loves death. To know what wisdom is, you cannot separate that wisdom from the Word of God. And at the heart of the revelation of God stands God Himself. And to understand wisdom, therefore, you have to know who God is. God is the all and perfectly wise God. God does not merely possess wisdom. God is wisdom in His very being. Just like God is love and God is holiness and God is power and omnipotence, God is wisdom. And that wisdom is God, of God, is the perfection of God, according to which God is able to order His entire divine life, order His entire divine decree, and order all His works that they serve His glory. To understand that wisdom is the principal thing, you have to understand that the glory of God is the principal thing. Nothing else in the world matters. Not the glory of man, certainly. The glory of God is everything. God did all things for His glory. And that's true also of God's own divine life. In God Himself, God seeks nothing but His glory. And that even apart from the creation. You have to understand that according to God's knowledge of Him being a triune God, how can God seek the glory of God? God the Father seeks the glory of the Son in the Spirit. And God the Son seeks the glory of the Father in the Spirit. The Spirit in the being of God searches the deep things of God. Why? In order to bring out the glory of God. So that in His own life, God seeks the glory of God in God. God is everything in the life of God. And that wisdom of God that He possesses in Himself is the wisdom according to which God decreed all things. Wisdom reveals itself in God's revelation of His decree. God's revelation of His decree is God's eternal decision for all things. Before He made everything, in the eternity of God, God planned all things. God planned the history of the entire creation. God planned the life of every creature. God planned every detail. Everything happens because God decreed it. And in that decree, God seeks nothing but His glory. That's His wisdom. God made the sun to glorify Him. God made the stars to glorify Him. God made the wicked for the day of evil to glorify Himself. And to understand wisdom, you have to come to the heart of God's decree. And wisdom itself speaks later in the book of Proverbs about His central and principal place in the decree of God. In Proverbs chapter 8, beginning at verse 22, Jehovah possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when He prepared the heavens. I was there when He appointed the fountains of the earth. Then I was by Him as one taught, brought up with Him. And I was daily in His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Whosoever findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Wisdom is a person. And the person that wisdom is Jesus Christ. When God sought His glory in all that He did and all that He decreed, at the very head of the decree of God, as the very first decree of God, was Christ. God willed that He be glorified in Christ. And God planned everything that He planned in order that serve His glory in and through Jesus Christ. God gave everything to Christ in order that through Christ everything would serve the glory of God. So that Christ Jesus is wisdom. To have Christ Jesus is to have wisdom. To know Christ Jesus is to know wisdom. To live with Jesus Christ is to live with wisdom. To live out of Jesus Christ is to live out of wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. If we do not understand that Christ is wisdom, then we don't understand wisdom at all. When the text says wisdom is the principal thing, the text is talking about a head. That's what principal means, a head. What is chief? What is foremost? And what is chief is Christ. in order that through Christ all things serve the glory of God. And so wisdom is as mysterious, not only as God Himself and the decree of God, but wisdom is as mysterious as Christ. Wisdom is God made flesh. Wisdom is God made flesh, living among men, obeying the law of God, in order to earn righteousness for His people by dying upon the cross. That's wisdom. The wisdom of God is the fall of man and all human beings into sin, so that man and all human beings could not, by their wisdom, know God. God shut off the wisdom of man, the investigation of man, the mind of man, the talents of man, the abilities of man, all that man thinks wise. God cut it off in the beginning as a possibility for man to know Him, in order that man can only know Him in and through Jesus Christ. That's God's wisdom. God's wisdom is the choosing of the fall and death and redemption and the cross and the way of sin and grace. That's God's wisdom. God's wisdom is to indict all in Adam and to make all guilty in Adam, that all fall in Adam into the depths of sin and under the dominion of sin and the devil. That's the wisdom of God, in order that the grace of God in Jesus Christ might be revealed, and in order that the justice and severity of God and the punishment of sin be revealed, and that God be glorified in both. Wisdom is Christ. Everything has happened in the world, from the creation of the world to the fall, to all of history, to everything in the life of every human being. Everything happens. In heaven above, on the earth, and under the earth, everything happens for Christ. And it's not only Christ. God's wisdom is that out of that fallen human race, He gave to Christ a people. God wills to glorify Himself in Christ in the salvation of His elect people, so that the wisdom of God includes God's covenant, God's church, and God's kingdom. At the heart of history stands Christ as a single individual. But you have to understand, Christ as a single individual is a head with a body. And His church is the body, the fullness of Him who filleth all things. So that Christ and His church is the wisdom of God. God made all things in order that through the fall of all things and the perishing of all things, He might, by the wonder of grace, build an eternal kingdom. An eternal kingdom in which heaven and earth is united. Eternal kingdom when the tabernacle of God is with men. An eternal kingdom in which all of creation, controlled by the sovereign power of Jesus Christ, and every creature in that creation, from the sun, moon, and stars, to the brute beasts, to the elect human beings, to the damned in hell, so that all of that creation, which bore the image of the earthly, but now will bear the image of the heavenly, that all creation that at one time was separated into a physical realm and a spiritual realm, that whole creation be made one in Jesus Christ, and so that whole creation, in its entirety and every creature individually, transparently praise and give glory to God. That's His wisdom. That wisdom was hidden in His counsel, so that no man could know it. No man could even conceive of it. And that wisdom God revealed when man fell and was trembling in the garden, and when all was hopeless for the entire human race and all of creation, God came and spoke wisdom. I will send the seed of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent. That's wisdom. And that wisdom, God spoke through the patriarchs and the prophets. That wisdom God signified in all the ceremonies and the laws of the Old Testament. That wisdom God prophesied through His servants, the prophets. That wisdom God in due time revealed when the second person of the Trinity took flesh of the Virgin Mary and was made man, born of a woman, made under the law. That wisdom itself spoke to men when Jesus Christ walked among men so that their ears heard divine wisdom itself. And that wisdom came. And that wisdom died on the cross in order to lay the foundation of God's eternal kingdom, salvation and every blessing. And that wisdom, having died, rose again the third day and ascended up into heaven. And that wisdom controls all things. And that wisdom, God still speaks. God still speaks that wisdom. Whenever God speaks out of His Word in the preaching, then wisdom speaks. Wisdom is all the sound doctrine of sacred Scripture. Wisdom is all the good instruction of sacred Scripture. Wisdom is all the glorious truth of sacred Scripture. At the heart of it all stands Christ and His church and God's wonder of grace. Wisdom is the principal thing. That simply means that wisdom is the reason that God does everything. Wisdom is the way that God does everything. Wisdom is the goal and the power that undergirds and directs everything in creation. Wisdom is the principal thing because God upholds, governs, and directs His creation by wisdom to achieve His glory. As that glory shines out in all of creation, wisdom is the principal thing because Christ sits head over all, controlling all things. Wisdom is the principal thing because there is no blessing outside of Jesus Christ. Wisdom is the principal thing because though a man gain the whole world and he have not Jesus Christ, he loses his soul. Wisdom is the principal thing because at the heart of all of history stands the church, the covenant of God and the kingdom. Wisdom is the principal thing because the preservation, the salvation, and the glorification of God's church is the center of all of history. Wisdom is the principal thing because ultimately God stands head over all, directing, guiding, upholding, governing, working all things after the counsel of His own will. Wisdom. That's an axiom, that wisdom is the principal thing. It is an indubitable truth. A man either believes that and he lives in harmony with it, and that man's life will be good because wisdom makes a man's life good. Or a man does not believe that and he orders his life in direct contradiction to that fact that wisdom is the principal thing. And his life is bad because he's a fool. And that's why the father not only says to his son, "Son, in all my instruction I taught you, I didn't want to give you merely a head full of facts, but I wanted you to have wisdom. I wanted you to understand God is over all. I wanted you to understand that in all that happens in the world, in all that happens in your life, and that all that God gives to you, He's seeking His glory. He does nothing apart from His glory. And you can't know God. You can't live in harmony with God apart from Jesus Christ. Get wisdom, because wisdom is the principal thing. And I say it's the Father who not only tells His Son wisdom is the principal thing, but in addition, He speaks of understanding. Understanding is not something that's separate and distinct from wisdom. Understanding is a constituent part of wisdom. Understanding here in the text means a deep and penetrating judgment. Understanding is the ability to discern. Understanding is the ability to see profoundly. Understanding is a part of wisdom. And when He speaks about wisdom being the principal thing, He adds to that understanding, because that wisdom being the principal thing gives the ability to have a deep and profound and penetrating judgment of all things. The wise man who has wisdom, which means that wise man has God, and that wise man has Christ, and that wise man has the Spirit of Christ, that gives to that man a profound, penetrating ability to judge in some sticky situation in the church. Wisdom and understanding allow him to understand what the problem is and what the solution is, according to the Word of God. Wisdom and understanding allow a man to understand past the superficial. That's how man always operates. Man operates on a superficial level. Man is always outcome driven. How's this going to affect my life, he says. How's this going to affect my bank account? How's this going to affect my standing? How's this going to affect the church? Now, superficially. How's it going to affect the here and now? How's it going to affect what people say today? They're outcome driven. They're outcome oriented. That's man's folly. And man is that way. You can say man is always scared of the consequences. He's always doing his calculations based on the consequences. What is this going to do in this situation to this person? And that man has taken his eyes off God and the glory of God. And he cannot be wise. He looks at men. He looks at outcomes. He looks at consequences. Instead of strictly at God and the Word of God and what God says is in His Word. That's wisdom. And with that comes understanding. So that by a Spirit-wrought ability, he penetrates past the superficial, past all those consequences and all those outcomes and all those fears, and he sees God and the glory of God behind it all. That's understanding. And that wisdom, having understanding, then does all for the glory of God. Wisdom might not be able to explain why this or that happened. Sometimes that's hidden in God's counsel. But wisdom will always trace everything back to God. Wisdom will see all in the light of that ultimate reality of God. God in His working, God in His kingdom, God in His grace, God in His power. Wisdom perceives that, and wisdom, as it were, is blind to everything else. Wisdom, that kind of wisdom, with that kind of understanding, is the principal thing. And if it's the principal thing, you and I need to get it. That word get, you have to understand that. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And then he says, with all thy getting, get understanding. The text means this. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting of wisdom, get understanding. The text does not mean, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy other getting, that is when you get money and you get cars and you get a house and you get a wife and you get children, get understanding. He means get wisdom, and with all your getting of wisdom, get understanding. Get wisdom. That comes out of believing that wisdom is the principal thing. If a man doesn't believe that wisdom is the principal thing, he will never get wisdom. If a man thinks that being financially secure is the principal thing, he will not get wisdom. He's devoid of wisdom. Nothing wrong with being financially secure, but that's not the principal thing. And if a man makes that the principal thing, he's made an idol in his life. He's serving someone other than God. If to be financially secure by the time one is 65 is the principal thing, then wisdom is not the principal thing. That's not what controlling a man's life then. God and the glory of God. But to be financially secure at 65. If to have a pleasurable, a responsibility-free, carefree life is the principal thing, and that's what's governing a man's life, he is not wise. Because wisdom is the principal thing. And you understand then whatever a man makes the principal thing in his life, that is what controls and governs his life. That's how he orders his life. If to be financially secure at 65 is the principal thing, a man orders his entire life around that principle. Principles are heads. Principles control. And if God and the glory of God, God and the church of God, God and the kingdom of God, God in the grace of God, God in eternal life, if that's not the principal thing in someone's life, he is unwise. And that's what man is by nature. When God says, and this son, this father says to his son, "Son, I taught you. Now get wisdom." That word "get" reveals that man is by nature devoid of wisdom. You don't get something you already have. And there is wisdom. Therein is wisdom. How do you know when a man becomes wise? He will confess about himself, "I have no wisdom of myself." He will confess about himself that by nature, he makes everything else other than God the principal thing in his life. He will confess about himself that he is unworthy of God and his kingdom and his covenant and his fellowship. He will confess about himself all his sins. That's wisdom. then you know wisdom has come to a man. Otherwise, man is devoid of wisdom. And you understand when man is devoid of wisdom, that is not a matter of IQ. That isn't even a matter of instruction. It's not even a matter of age. There's plenty of foolish old men. Wisdom is not bound by age. Wisdom is not acquired by age. Wisdom is a profoundly spiritual matter rooted in the heart of man. And that man lacks wisdom points to man's profound spiritual heart problem. The Father talks about that later. Son, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issue of life. Man's lack of wisdom is rooted in a heart that hates wisdom and therefore ultimately hates God and hates instruction from God. That's the root of man's problem. Wisdom cries out to man and all of creation. The entire creation only has one word. God is, and God must be served. The entire creation and every creature in creation declares only the eternal power and Godhead of God. And man is such a fool that he holds that truth down in unrighteousness. That's a heart matter. Even worse is man's folly when the wisdom of God comes in Jesus Christ in the gospel. Then man hears that wisdom from God, that wisdom from God which can deliver him from all his folly and from all his ignorance, can direct his life to heavenly glory, and man hates that. That's what they did to wisdom when wisdom came. They crucified him because they hated him. And that reveals that man's lack of wisdom is not a lack of education and instruction. It's not a matter of man's smarts. It's not a matter of man's age. It's a matter of man's heart. He hates wisdom and he's devoid of wisdom because his heart is black and wicked. Man must get wisdom because he has none. And the beginning of getting wisdom is to confess it. So long as a man has the solution to problems in his life and to problems in the church and problems in the family, so long as man has the solution, he's devoid of wisdom. As soon as he stops having the solution, God will give him wisdom. Indeed, when he stops having the solution, wisdom has broke in upon his black and wicked heart and changed it so that he humbles himself before the Almighty God, so that he makes himself God and not himself the goal of all things. And secondly, when God says, get wisdom, that reveals how precious wisdom is. The word there is buy. Buy it. Wisdom is a costly thing. In order that foolish men be wise, it was a costly thing. Don't ever think you and I can buy wisdom. How does a foolish man buy wisdom? What resources is he going to use to pay for wisdom? How will he acquire wisdom from God? Without money and without price. When God says, get wisdom, He's not talking about the cost that you and I have to spend. He's talking about the costliness of wisdom. Wisdom was bought. Wisdom was bought at the cost of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how precious wisdom is. In order that we might know God, in order that we might know His counsel, in order that we might be brought into His household, in order that our minds might be changed from earthly minds to heavenly minds, in order that our hearts might be changed from black and wicked hearts to believing hearts, in order that our lives might be changed from those that were satisfied with earth's treasures to those that seek the eternal and the glorious and the heavenly, in order for that to take place, in order for men to become wise, God first appointed men to that wisdom in His eternal counsel. And for the fulfillment of that counsel, God sent Jesus Christ into the world to pay for the sins of those foolish men and to acquire for them wisdom, indeed to become wisdom for them. God shed His blood for His people to be wise. And He acquired wisdom there at the cross. And that wisdom now is all stored up in Jesus Christ. That's what Corinthians says. Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's all in Him. How do men get wisdom? You have to come then to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went up as wisdom on high to rule over all things. And He poured out His Spirit upon His church. And by that Spirit He makes His people wise. Wise unto salvation. So that the Spirit teaches them divine things. The Spirit gives to them the understanding of the Word of God. The Spirit causes them to order their lives to the glory of God. The Spirit grants them to submit to the law of God. The Spirit gives them all that God speaks about as wisdom in His Word. And yet I say, how do men get wisdom? Instruction. That's what He said. I taught you good doctrine. At the heart of getting wisdom is the instruction of children. It's mysterious. It is as mysterious as God and Christ and the cross and the Spirit. But it is instruction. If we teach them good doctrine, God's promise with regard to His elect people is that they will get wisdom. That instruction will so lay hold on them that instruction will govern their entire life. It'll govern all their decisions. It'll govern all their thinking. It'll govern all their goals and their purposes. And from it, they will not depart. God uses very weak, very sinful means in order that His people might get wisdom. And so get wisdom, young men. That means that the young men need to be having the church and the kingdom of God and the covenant of God at the very center of their life. That involves marriage too. It isn't wise ordinarily There are exceptions. But it isn't wise ordinarily to put off marriage so that you can be established in your career or you can do something that you wanted in the world. That's very unwise. That's not an opinion. That's the Word of God. That deals with the nature of the young man. God Himself speaks of it. It's better to marry than to burn. It isn't wise to sit in front of a video game console for hours. How foolish. How foolish that a parent would allow their child to do that. That parent is allowing the child to be foolish. Give them a book. Better yet, give them a good book on theology. It's wisdom to know doctrine. It's wisdom to know the truth. It's wisdom to read the truth, to understand the truth, to be up on the truth. It's wisdom to know what's going on in the church and in the church world. That's wisdom. It isn't wisdom to make oneself and one's pleasures and one's happiness in this life and the getting of earthly treasures the goal of one's life. That's folly. That will be ruinous in a man's life and in the church. Get wisdom. Get wisdom because the wise life is alone the blessed life. First, understand that even to have wisdom is the blessing. Besides anything else, just that God made a fool wise, what an astounding blessing. There's nothing more precious that God can give to a young man than that. But then look at what power wisdom has. Whosoever forsakes wisdom, or rather do not forsake wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Exalt her, she shall promote thee. Embrace her, and she shall bring thee honor. She'll be a beautiful ornament on your life and a crown of grace on your head. When you walk with wisdom, you will not fall. When you run with wisdom, you will not stumble. Get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. And understand this. Whoever hates wisdom loves death. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for delivering us from our natural and easy folly, in which folly we are far from Thee, and in which folly we ultimately perish. Make in our hearts wisdom the principal thing, so that we get wisdom, and with all our getting, we get understanding. Especially we pray for our young men. Thou wilt make them wise young men who grow up to be wise old men who lead well and for the benefit of Thy church, for Thy glory. We ask this all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.